Welcome to Picnic Climbers, a podcast for those who love getting outside,
going on epic adventures,
or chill ones,
and don't take themselves too seriously. Join us, Nate and Mo,
as we share our escapades into the great outdoors.
And don't forget the beer, eh? Hello, Picnic Climbers. We come to you this week with the exciting news that we survived. We made it there and back. Four nights in a tent with little buddy.
With a little baby.
And it, yeah, we did it.
We did.
So if this is the first episode that you are listening to, and this seems like a bit of a strange intro, go back and listen to our previous episode, because this is a bit of a follow-on from that one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll
Adventures with Baby Part 2.
Yeah, Adventures with Baby Part 2. And as we set up in our last episode, we were about to set off on a camping trip with Rowan for the very first time. Rowan is our 7-month-old, not a dog, for anyone who's otherwise
he's
unaware.
A human baby.
A human baby.
So, of our very own.
So we were nervous, definitely nervous, because some of the earlier adventures we'd done with him had been a bit up and down. It hit or miss. So we were a bit nervous. But we're going to talk all about it today. But just before we do, how are we doing, Monica? How are you feeling?
Oh, so good. Winter is officially over, finally. And I mean, okay, when we're recording this, it's June, so it's been over for a while. But May was a long slog of rainy, chilly, blah,
it was
gray
really nasty
days. It was probably the most gloomy May I've ever lived through. And it just was a little bit sad. However, with June came the arrival of the sunshine, and it just leapt up into the 20 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
We seemed to skip the high teens. It was like 13, 14 drizzle for ages, and that was on a good day. It was also hovering around 10. And now it's gorgeous and warm, and I spent most of the day outside.
And Rowan loves being outside.
Rowan loves being outside. He's so much
makes us happy.
Easier outside. Yeah, I think the being inside, the four walls, everything stays still. And he quickly gets bored or just needs me to be entertaining. Whereas you put him outside and he's just so fascinated by all that's going on. Like every time there's a little breeze and the leaves shake, he's staring at the sky, the birds, other people, kids in yards close by. He loves the feeling of grass. He really is just so fascinated by the great wide world that I can put him, just sit him down in the grass in the shade, and he just like stares at me and smiles and then watches the world.
Yeah.
Whereas inside, if I leave him, you know, even with a pile of toys for a short time, he's happy for a little while and then is just whiny and bored. And
it is so cool watching that. Yeah. I mean, obviously, yes, it's nice to, you know, not have to really feel like you have to entertain for a period of time or he's happy for a while.
Not that I find the ways to just leave my baby on his own, obviously.
No, of course
but
not.
If I need to get something done, he's just so much happier chilling in the grass than on the carpet in the living room.
And he's obviously really enjoying it.
Yeah.
And he's just so interested in the world. And that, as outdoorsy parents, that makes us so happy and excited.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's jump straight on into it. So we went to Cornwall for 4 nights. This was during the half-term holiday. So think busy beaches, think busy roads, and think busy cafes. Lots of people everywhere. Seen as no one's allowed to leave the country.
Lots of families.
Lots
especially.
Of families.
Yeah, I think most people that can avoid half terms do. But all the families with kids off school and all the teachers.
Teachers. Yeah, so this was the context for us going down. Then we'd never been to Cornwall before. This was a part of the UK that was brand new to us. Being from Wales myself, we would typically go to South Wales, which is stunning coastal scenery, and I'd always had the idea that, you know what, Cornwall would kind of just be like a busy version of Pembrokeshire, but we decided that we had to go and experience it for ourselves and find out if that was true.
It's very popular,
not
common, or not common, a very popular and I guess well-known area of England.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
And it was, yeah. And there's so much, like, we had great weather, which I think helped because when you're on walks and on the beach and exploring, everyone's spread out and you don't, like, we didn't really mind, Like there, people were on the roads, but it wasn't horrible. But it was pretty busy when we went into town. So had it been rainy and we'd been hanging out in cafes or just driving around, that might have gotten old pretty quickly. But no, it was gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. So we're going to talk mostly here about our experience camping with Rowan, with our young little boy for the first time, and just kind of some of the things that went well, some of the things that was a little bit more challenging, and just how we made it a overall successful, would you say,
experience? I would say, yeah, definitely.
That's what I was going to say. It's definitely a successful experience. So step one, and this one's really, Monica, you're going to talk about this one because this was all you. I thought you did it brilliantly. I think you did it really, really well. Oh, dear. Step one, once we eventually arrived at our campsite in Cornwall, we got the tent set up. Step one was to get Rowan comfortable in the tent. So talk us through, you took him into the tent, it was a bit windy that first day, what was happening, what was his response, and what did you do?
Well, I mean, it wasn't that big a deal, but normally when we go camping, we set up the tent frame bit together, and then I go into the tent and set up the inside of the tent and make it all cute and homey and comfy, and Nate, you kind of put the rest of the camp together. And so we did that as usual, that's just our go-to, and I brought Ro with me. And he was quite scared of the tent at first. It was noisy and flapping and a different color. And he was inside but outside. And I think it was just a lot. He seems to enjoy new experiences and be very observant and interested, but also a little bit timid, we're finding.
Yeah.
And just takes a bit of time to warm up. And so he was quite clingy and worried. But we just we played. And so I pretty much hung out in the tent with him until we were set up camp, really, for like half an hour, just playing with the tent fabric and flapping around and zipping and unzipping and feeling the walls and just getting him comfortable with the tent. Because, I think it would have been a bad idea to try to put him to sleep in it without getting him used to it. And so I just made it a bit of a play space, which is dangerous because you don't want to also put him to bed and think it's time to play. But it was quite cute, and he loved the zippers, and he loves feeling things, as all babies do, different textures, and the tent has a very kind of a smooth scratchiness. So he just was scratching it, which is very funny, but he quickly warmed up to it, and we were playing with the tent flaps, and he remained fascinated with the zippers pretty much the rest of the trip, didn't he?
He did. He was so comfortable in there. And we were nervous at first because, like, that moment when you took him in, he looked very unsure. He was whining a little bit. Yeah. And he's just looking around, staring at everything.
Well, the other thing that didn't help is when we arrived at our campsite, we realized it was on quite the slope. It was not flat whatsoever. And it was okay, but
it wasn't that bad. It wasn't dead flat, but like
it was noticeably not flat. And he's little, and if he sits facing down because his body leans forward naturally, then gravity would kind of sort him out. But if he was sitting sideways or any other way, he'd also topple over, which I think didn't help make him feel happy in there. And there were sleeping bags everywhere and slippy. So it's quite funny. Yeah. But anyway, we got him used to the tent, had a bit of a playtime, and then he was okay with that. And then we'd just plop him in the grass after that while we finished setting him, didn't we?
Yeah.
He was happy.
Yeah. Well, he was, so he was, I would say that the tent, getting him comfortable with the tent was worked really well. And he was just happy in there all the time then, whenever we were getting up in the mornings, whenever we were sort of getting him into the tent in the evenings. It was just became a very safe space.
Well, I think he liked all the crinkles and the feels, and like he ended up really liking the sleeping bags, and we were worried about that, like, because they're quite noisy and keeping him awake, but he liked it.
He did. How about then around camp? So when he wasn't, like, when we were in the tent, but like if I was cooking or setting up the stove and you were fiddling with something and he was kind of just within camp, what were we doing to keep him entertained?
I mean, we just gave him a spoon, didn't we?
Wasn't a normal baby toy.
I don't know if he's bored of his toys or babies just are intrinsically interested in what their parents are doing. And so I don't know. But the toys did not get played with much. We don't have that many toys for him. So we do end up giving him the same ones over and over. And other than that, we just play with him with everyday things. And yeah, we just gave him a big plastic spoon and he played with that quite happily.
And water bottles. You stick
he
a water bottle
loves
in front of
water
him.
Bottles. Yes, he does. But he is in the stage where he's very interested in all the things that we're doing and really wants to move and stand and be a part of things, but also he's not the most independent player, let's just say that. So I think I did a lot of hands-on playing, and that's often just like being a body for him to kind of lean on and crawl over and interact with. So yeah, I think you did most of the cooking and most of the cleanup, and I did most of the Rowan Jungle Gym.
As he would, climb over you. I mean, there were moments when he was happy being put down in the grass for a few minutes at a time, wasn't there? And or like,
sure, yeah.
And when you know, when you would like if you were, I don't know, fiddling with something in the tent and I was getting set up, there was a couple of times when I would just put like a shoe, one of my shoes, in front of him, and he'd like pull up the laces and just kind of like,
yeah, that's just normal baby stuff though, isn't that? That's normal baby life.
I think that's the thing, and that's kind of maybe I think what works so well about it is, it very quickly for him, it did just become normal baby life. Like, there was nothing that significantly different about it.
I think the most significant difference was, like, when we camp, we car camp, but we also have, like, backpacking stuff, so we don't have a massive camp stove or a barbecue. Like, we don't have any, all these big things. We've got, like, a little foldable backpacking stove and just little things. So everything we do is just on the ground, right outside the tent. Our tent also looks itty bitty compared to all the village tents that people have most of the time here. It packs up to the size of like what, your thigh. That's a weird comparison.
But your what?
Your thigh.
Thigh.
I feel like the tent is the same size as your thigh.
As my thigh, or just someone's thigh?
Specifically your thigh.
That's so weird. Do you have to like post a photo of my thigh?
I was looking around at things to compare it to. It's just a small tent and your thigh is there. Okay. It's like roughly the same size as a male thigh.
You're weird.
Like hip to knee. We're talking not very big tent, okay? It's been a long day. Anyway, so I don't know where I was going with this. No, I do know. When we're in the house and we do things, we're standing up and we're moving around and the kitchen's big and we're all over the place. But camping, we were in the same 6 square foot little area, huddled over our little stove by our little tent, and we were close together the whole time. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So we were on his level the whole time, cooking, cleaning, packing lunches, everything. We were down on the floor a foot from him, and I think he loved that. Like I said, he's not the most independent little dude. He's can be quite clingy, which is fine, which is fun, but we were just so close to him all the time and so close to each other. The three of us were just like this little happy family living on a picnic blanket, doing everything on the picnic blanket. And that was so fun for him. I think he was just in it, right in the middle of life, which was challenging because obviously dealing with hot food and pans and pots and things and a tiny baby, you don't want him hurting himself, but was thrilled.
He was. I think you're absolutely right. And they were less like, because we had to be careful of him touching the stove or hot things or pulling whatever it was on top of him, we did have to be that a little bit more hands-on with him, a little bit more close to him, a bit more able to grab him. And like you say, he did really enjoy that closeness. I think also we were less distracted because we didn't have, whether it was a laptop or phones or that really to mess around with and accidentally get distracted with. And I think he really just appreciated that as well, that we were just...
He probably wishes we camped all the time. It was great. It was very cute.
How about feeding him? How did that go? What did we do for that?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's at the age where he could still survive just off of breast milk. So that is easy and convenient still. We don't bother with bottles or anything most of the time. It's just me, the food factory, food truck. So that was good. But he is eating solids and does like solids and...
Oh, he absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
If you're eating and you don't feed him, he just sort of stares at you.
He stares
longingly.
But
and
he looks sad.
Oh, he like will pouts. Put a hand on you.
Yeah, he's like, Mom, Mama, what about me?
Where's my food?
I would like some of that.
So we knew that we had to have food for him.
Yeah, that's the one thing, like, for feeding. That's the one kind of purchase we made, especially for the camping trip was I just found a little booster seat at a thrift store. And so it just kind of, it was just a little plastic seat that sits on the ground and has a teeny tiny tray. But it kept him in one spot, which was great. And then we bought food for the first time ever.
Like baby pouches.
Yeah. So that we bought a couple, puree pouches that you just kind of squeeze out like toothpaste onto a spoon. Which he still managed to get absolutely everywhere.
Oh, it was such a mess.
He enjoyed it. Yeah, we haven't really done much purees. It's pretty much been kind of finger food.
Yeah.
So it was fun to do something new and try that, and he loved it. And then we also bought him his first bag of crisps, which lasted him the entire week. Yeah. It's just these little baby-friendly crisp
things. They were like baked sweet corn rings. Like, they were made from sweet corn. And they were just very easy for him. He could put his fingers through it. Like, it was really easy for him to pick up.
And melts in his mouth.
Yeah, it was very convenient.
Yeah, so we gave him, like, two every lunchtime for picnics.
Yeah.
And he could eat those, munch on them quite happily while we had picnics. Because it just keeps him busy.
It does.
And that's the most important thing, whether it gets in his tummy or not. Who cares?
Yeah. And, like, not food that we would give him under normal circumstances, but it's kind of fun camping food for him.
Yeah.
Is how we sort of saw it, isn't it? It's like, when would we ever eat, like, Kraft dinner macaroni and cheese? It's like, oh, if we were camping and we could kind of set it to ourselves that way.
Yeah, it was interesting. We didn't even know what you could buy for babies really until we got to the first kind of rest stop and went to buy a picnic lunch, and
that was
what there was. But yeah, there you go, baby food. Yeah.
I think all of that, sort of getting him comfortable in the tent, keeping him entertained around camp, getting him fed, all was building up to what was in our minds the biggest challenge. And the thing that we were most apprehensive about going into it, which was getting him to sleep at night in a tent and get him to stay asleep and stay quiet, because tents are not soundproof. And so we were very nervous about this ahead of time.
Yeah. So Rowan is 7 months. However, he is...
Well, what should a seven-month do in terms of sleeping before you...
I have no idea. I'm unconvinced that there's anything a seven-month-old should do in terms of sleeping. But that being said, I think a lot of seven-month-olds do sleep through the night, or will wake and then go back to sleep on their own, or will wake and have a drink once and then go back to sleep.
Okay.
Whereas Ro has done that in the past every now and again, but he goes through... I don't know. It's almost like he's got a 2-week cycle. He'll have 2 weeks of reasonable nights and then 2 weeks where it's just chaos, where he'll wake up in the middle of the night and really, really want to play and just be wide awake for 2 hours and either playing with us or being held by us or crying loudly and protesting. And just he can do that 2 or 3 times a night. Or sometimes he sleeps well and anything and everything between that. But, I mean, he's noisy, obviously, when he is not happy. So, and we've done various methods of trying to extend his sleep. And sometimes that means leaving him to cry for 10 minutes, which is a long time for me when I'm next door to him and I'm his mum. It's a long time if you're camping. Mm-hmm. And the neighbors have a baby crying for 10 minutes. Like, I just didn't think that was okay. So, yeah, we were quite nervous about how nights would be because he's not a terribly good sleeper. It worked out okay. It was hard work.
It was hard work.
Yeah, it was tiring. Like, we came back pretty exhausted.
Yeah, we did.
But nobody hated us, and I think that was the win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would go to sleep fine.
Yeah.
We would stay up for about an hour or so. Tents are noisy, aren't they? Zippers on literally everything. And by the time we got ourselves in our sleeping bag, it normally had woken him up.
Yeah.
Which required a bit of settling.
Yeah.
And then he was able to go back to sleep. But yeah, it was, I think, on the best night, he woke up once. On the worst night, did he wake up 3 or 4 times?
I thought it was more like 4 or 5.
Maybe 4 or 5.
And he's just... took multiple tries to get him down again, crying in between. That, like, yeah, there and was you some would, hard nights.
You'd pick him up, you'd feed him and that means that you're quite hunched over in the tent. You don't have any sort of support for your back, so that's a bit sore on your back. And obviously you've got to get yourself out of your sleeping bag, which the first two nights was absolutely fine because it was quite warm, but the second two nights were quite chilly. And so for you, you were getting cold. But one of the other the things that we also had to be careful of, and probably the hardest thing to manage, was Rowan's temperature levels. Like
that's the one thing I have no idea if we did well or not. I feel like we brought him so many things. So we brought him, I bought specific like 2-layer pajamas. So it was like a long sleeve onesie and a thick, warm kind of ribbed type fabric. And then footed leggings that came over top of that. And then we had a bigger set of pajamas that would go over top of those. So it was almost like base layer and then a warm pajama. And then we have sleeping bags for him. So we had two. We had one thin little one that's small, kind of fits right on his body, and then a bigger one that's thick. And so I had up to 4 layers for him and a tight hat that could have that he could wear. And I brought a blanket, and he was in a pram, and so I could put a blanket over top of that pram, to which I put over top to keep the light out when he was going to sleep. And then it actually made it like a tent within a tent for him, so it was a bit soundproof and kept the heat in quite nicely.
That's the thing. I think the thing that it did the most is because he was contained within this thing, I think it really was quite warm in
there. That being said, that made it so hard to tell what his temperature actually was. So the first night was quite warm, so I put the first layer of pajamas on and the second, and then just one sleeping bag, and then in the pram. And by the second wake up, he was feeling so sweaty, and so I took the outer pajamas off. So then he was just in one set of pajamas, one sleeping bag, and then the blanket over. But I felt self-conscious about that, because that's only slightly warmer than what he wears at home in a heated room. But it was warm, and the tent, we warmed the tent up, so as soon as we went to bed, like, our body heat would it's quite insulated, and we have a tiny tent. So that was the first night. And then the second night, I think I did the same thing, and it was okay. But then the third night, he ended up feeling quite chilly, so I put a blanket on him
and the
fourth night, we were back to two pajamas.
Yeah.
And I think we started with a blanket and then took it off when we went to bed or something like that. But yeah, I had every time he woke, I had no idea, is he cold, is he warm? Is he too cold, too warm? Yeah. And you can only tell so much from like feeling his back or his chest. So that was the one thing I'm not really sure.
But it's all just trial and error. Yeah. I mean, I think
but that's the thing. When he wakes up, it could be like a dozen reasons what's wrong, and one of them could be too hot, too cold. We did a lot of throw a blanket on, see if that helps. Take off a layer, put it back on.
And there were times when it did. I mean, I think we had almost cracked it by the end. With the last night, he had a 7-hour chunk where he didn't wake up once, which was
7 hours.
Unbelievable.
That's like almost a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
Not that we slept for any of that 7 hours.
We had quite a broken last night, but not because of Rowan, because of some
It was Friday and
Northern
all the
partiers.
Weekend partiers showed up on a Friday night and had their
I could hear this bass line was playing. I had no idea what song it was, because all that was traveling as far as we were was the bass line. And then I heard the karaoke start over top of Valerie. That's what
it's the worst version I've ever heard, but anyway. Yeah, so that got us till quite late when they finally made a long march across camp and told them to shut up.
So you were very brave.
I was very polite also, which I feel like good on me.
Toot your own.
Hey, at least I went.
That's true.
We kept thinking, somebody'll tell him, somebody'll tell him, and like, we're in England. These Brits, they're far too polite to tell anybody what their true opinion is. Anyway, I went and told them, and they were very sheepish and went to bed. But then we got like, an hour of sleep? And then a little family had gone next to us, and they were very sweet, and they had a baby that was a month older than Rowan, and so we bonded a little bit, and it was really cute to see another family with a baby out, and it was their first time as well. But their little baby was a little bit sick, and he was also waking up in the night every few hours, but he was waking up not happy at all and would scream for quite long times, which is what we were afraid of would happen to us. So we were very forgiving. However, it was quite ironic to be laying awake listening to somebody else's baby cry. Well, ours slept soundly for the first time. Oh, well.
So I think moral of that story is don't go camping when your baby's sick. Maybe.
Yeah. It's such a shame, though, because you have to book so far in advance. And I think they'd been to the doctors, and the doctor said that he was fine. And so it was just like, oh, he'll just get better. So it wasn't, like, really sick, but he just wasn't happy. Yeah. And poor parents. It was quite funny, though, because I think they got up and left very early in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the quiet period was 11 to 7. And you're not meant to even drive in that time. And like 7:05, they drove away.
They were gone, yeah.
So we got the dirty looks the next morning because we were camped right next to them and also had a little baby. And every time I thought about it, I wanted to shout like, our baby slept 7 hours. Don't look at us. But, well, we can take some dirty looks for the poor couple next door.
So we didn't make any friends that last night. But there we are. So that was the camping side of it all. The other side that we haven't really touched on at all was the daily activities. So we're down in Cornwall, known for its beaches, known for its beautiful coastline with its coastal path. And these were kind of the things that we went for, weren't they? So we found that we kind of, each day we did a different activity. We walked beach day. Actually, we went cycling for the first time with Rowan, had him in a small carrier on the back of the bike, which was incredibly cute.
A seat.
What am I saying? A seat. Yeah, sorry, a seat.
You weren't carrying him.
No,
that's not. Very
I wasn't
dangerous.
Carrying him at all.
A little baby seat.
A little seat on the back of the bike with his helmet that was way too big for his head and his sunglasses.
so funny.
And yeah, we had a really good time. But however, we did find that some activities with a 7-month-old worked better than others, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, it's all to do with naps, I feel like. And I know families that really plan their entire day around baby's naps, and I can totally understand why. Rowan is a terrible sleeper at night, but a really solid napper. And he normally takes 2-hour nap in the morning and 1.5 hours in the afternoon. And that's a solid, like, he'll go down, that's that, wake up 2 hours later, be very happy. And so we didn't really want to sit in camp and wait for 2 hours while he napped. I think we touched on this last time, we're much more interested in, you know, as keeping him safe and happy and healthy, but also having him join us in our life and have him adapt to our plans. And we'd much rather have a cranky baby now and again, but have taken him loads of places and explored and shared lots of experiences, rather than a baby who's got a solid routine and never leaves his house. So
I think what you said, the way that you described it before, which I've quite liked, is that he's joining our family.
Yeah.
I think that's quite good.
So he's along for the ride.
Yeah. And I think partly is his nature, partly maybe we're teaching him. I'm not really sure how that all side works. But, like, he's very adaptable and that helps.
Yeah, he seems to be flexible.
So, yeah, so we...
Within reason.
Yeah, definitely. So we found that when we were taking him out and that we were kind of expecting him to just nap while we were doing whatever it was that we were doing.
Which was very kind of positive thinking, like, on our behalf. Yeah. Like, oh, if he's tired, he'll go to sleep.
Yeah, he'll sleep when he can and when he needs to.
Which some babies do and some babies very much don't. And he's kind of in the middle.
I thought it worked very well for us.
I think so.
Particularly with certain activities. So I say the one that was the most challenging, which is unfortunate because this is kind of why we went to Cornwall and the thing that we were most looking forward to, was our beach day.
Well, we kind of thought like drives are perfect. And often when we do day trips from home, we work in the drive because Rowan loves to sleep in the car and is pretty good at that. And we just assumed, oh, on the way to the beach, on the way back from the beach, like all that kind of thing, he'll sleep in the car. We didn't quite realize that everything was 10 minutes away. So he would have like 6 minute naps by the time he got to sleep. But anyway, that it worked out okay. So he did that. But yeah, the tricky thing with the beach day is lying on a towel in the sand. It's very, very bright. Mm-hmm. We had an umbrella with us, but he likes to play with that. And it's just, there's just too much going on.
Oh, it's loud.
Yeah, there's weight. He loves to look and watch. And he just, we could have brought like a little tent. We could have bought one of those, but we didn't. And so we started that day with a walk, and he did have a little nap in the backpack.
Yeah.
And then he had a few 6 minute naps as we drove various places. And then on the beach, he managed to fall asleep in my arms. So when I was feeding him at lunchtime, he slept. And then I kind of covered him with a towel a little bit to keep the sun out and held him for as long as I could. But yeah, sitting cross-legged, he's not the lightest anymore. Holding him in kind of feed position, my butt got numb. And so I would shift a little bit and he'd wake up, and so then I'd feed him a little bit more, and he'd have a little longer. So it was, yeah, it was awkward. I was quite sore by the end, and he hadn't had that long. But oh well, he got a little bit of sleep.
It was also the beach activities that we wanted to do, being in the water, bodyboarding.
A bit of cliff jumping. Yeah, yeah,
not something that we could both do, all three of us do at the same time. Obviously, one of us needed to stay on the shore with him. And so just from our perspective there, we weren't really able to share in that activity in the same way that we would have done before him. And so that was a bit of a moment where we kind of, like, I think we spent less time on the beach than maybe we were anticipating.
Definitely, yeah.
Other than, you know, because it was challenging.
Yeah. I mean, the water was cold, and so, and it was quite wave, like big waves. So it's not like we could wade in with him.
No.
I think that'd been scary. So yeah, Rowan stayed on the sand the whole day.
Yeah.
And yeah, you put on a wetsuit and went bodyboarding for a while I played with him. And then when after he had a little feed and a nap, you stayed with him and I went and swam and bodyboarded and
we had a climbed good time. On some
cliffs. Yeah, but it didn't quite feel like the family holiday we wanted.
No, and we were looking around at all the other families that were on the beach with their probably anywhere from, what, 3 to 17-year-olds that were able to play a lot more and we're so excited for that stage, but we're just not there.
Not there yet. Yeah, we're noticing that we're often among lots of other families and yet have the youngest, the youngest child. We don't often see babies littler than Ro doing the things we're doing. So, I mean, I guess that's good for us because we're getting out there. But yeah, we are definitely confined by what we can.
Yeah, but that's, and so I think in that, certain activities worked better because they did allow him to sleep. So taking him, putting him in the hiking backpack, which, if you remember in our last episode, we were talking about actually how challenging we were finding that.
Yeah.
It had been about a 6 week gap between the last time we used the hiking backpack fairly unsuccessfully and when we used it on this trip, and the difference was incredible. Him just being that 6 weeks older, that 6 weeks bigger, he was so happy in it. He was enjoying it so much more. He was more comfortable in it. He could move himself around within the seat a little bit more. I mean, did we talk
about the Malvern trip last?
We did not. No, that was afterwards.
Oh, how was it? Yeah. So it's gone much better now.
So he is really enjoying the backpack now, and we're enjoying putting him in the backpack. He can sleep in that quite happily. That is now something that I think that we can really use positively for him. And I mean, we had him in it without taking him out for up to an hour and a half. And then we took him out, had a little play with him, put him back in, and that was another hour and a half. We probably wouldn't do too much more than that in a day.
Did we take him out?
We did.
Not in Cornwall.
But in the Malverns we did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But the Cornwall walk was longer and we never took him out.
It's because he fell asleep.
He fell asleep. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, anyway. But yeah, and then the other days, I mean, we went to the Eden Project, which is a beautiful kind of indoor garden thing where they fake biomes by massive bubble greenhouses.
It's on all the lists of like the things you must do in the UK.
So we went and it was lovely. It was really cool. And the beauty of it was pushchair friendly, very family friendly, touristy type of day out. But Rowan sleeps really well in the pushchair and loves to look out and has toys attached and just like, that's really good. So that was easy and he fell asleep and... Mm-hmm. And then whenever he needed to.
And then the other one that worked really well with him was, like we said already, being on the back of the bike.
Which made me a bit nervous, I have to say, because, again, we saw loads of babies and little kids on the backs of bikes, and yet Rowan was by far the smallest.
Yeah, he was.
And the helmet fit on his head, but I think had he toppled off, I'm not sure how much it would have done to protect him. But the thing it was creating kind of a barrier from the sides of the seat or from Nathan's back. And so he was kind of using it as a pillow. But his little neck, I don't know, it made me a bit nervous, him sleeping in there. But he was, he was safe and he was happy. And
yeah, and he did sleep.
His little legs sticking straight out in front of him. Yeah. Oh, it was so cute. But yeah, he really enjoyed the biking. He stared at the ground. I think he was fascinated by how fast it was moving beneath him. And, you know, beautiful scenery, beautiful views, and Rowan's staring at the gravel path. But there you go. That's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, in activity-wise, like, the way that we started, I mean, saying that we're just going to kind of go for it and he'll sleep when he can, that actually worked out for us.
Yeah.
And maybe partly it's we were on holiday, and so we weren't desperate to do anything super quickly. We weren't running off to certain things. So there were times when we would pause, or we would slow down, or we would wait a half hour for him to, if he was sleeping in the car, we just kind of potter about for a bit of time. And you don't really notice that time disappearing on holiday. If it takes you 10, 15 minutes to get out the car park, like, you don't really notice that quite so much. But that's 10, 15 minutes of solid nap time for him. So it worked out quite well, I think, and I was really pleased with that.
Yeah, the amount of catnaps he took. That being said, the day he got home, he was uncharacteristically sleepy whole day. He took some very long naps and was very kind of calm and cuddly and sleepy and went to bed at 6:30. So Rowan, I think we did definitely wore him out.
Rowan needed a holiday from his holiday.
Yeah, poor little guy. But I mean, fine, he was fine, and now he's
not again. So that kind of brings us to the end of it, our final evaluation there. I mean, overall really, really positive. What would you say there were any major negatives?
I mean, the one thing I would change, and it's cliche, like, I would just go with more people, I think.
Yeah.
And people that go on holiday, you know, with little kids and grandparents, there's a reason. It's fun for the grandparents, it's fun for the kids, and it's easier for the parents. I think we had to do, there was a lot of hands-on, and one or the other of us was very much focused on Ro at all times, which was so wonderful to watch him grow and just spend time with him and enjoy him. But yeah, it is limiting, and we have to very much take turns, and I think I missed you a bit, and I think we didn't have as much quality time. So we found that we're able to do a lot more if we go in a group, because Rowan can be passed around a little bit more, which he really enjoys, and then we could have spent some more time with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were quite, I know, switched on of like, okay, let's make this work. Let's do this adventure. Let's make sure he's okay. And I think we'll get more comfortable as we take on more things.
I think we will.
But also, yeah, I think the three of us, it's slightly more challenging than had we had.
I think that's a really
grandparents
good takeaway,
are far away, and so we would have brought them along if they weren't, but they are. So
is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the only other thing from my perspective is we did end it quite tired, didn't we?
It was
a lot of work, like you say, and it was. It was wonderful and so worth it, but it was hard, and it took mm-hmm. effort. So the start of this week has been a bit of recovery from it, which has been funny.
But we arrived home and Rowan has had 4 really good night's sleeps.
He is
currently sleeping now, knock on wood. Let's hope he stays that way. Yeah. But yeah, I think maybe we tired him out so much that he decides that nighttime is a good time for sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good to me. The only other thing that we've talked since about getting that we think would maybe be helpful, and you've looked in at these more than I have, so you might know what they are a little bit better, but like kind of like travel cot type thing.
It's not a travel cot necessarily. Like, it doesn't look anything like a playpen. It's almost like a mini tent.
Okay.
So it has a little inflatable mattress that's the size of a cot mattress.
Oh, that's fun.
But then I think it's like a kind of a dome, almost like a tent structure that pops up over it.
Okay.
So I think it's for shade and bugs and like protects them in the tent. So it's their own little, because he won't fit in the pram anymore. So we're looking at other options for the summer. So yeah, it's got a mattress and we keep bugs and things off of him and maybe make it a bit darker. But then it comes in a little thing and the mattress is inflatable. So I'm thinking it might be a good option for beach naps or park naps or other kinds of naps. But I haven't looked into it very much. It's pretty much a camping cot. But it lays on the ground. Like, it doesn't have a...
Yeah, that sounds really good. And that's...
So that we might get one of those. Yeah, I have to actually look. Yeah.
No, that sounds good. Like, but yeah, I mean, we needed a lot. It was funny packing the car. I felt like most of the things that I was putting in the car were Rowan's things. not camping specific stuff.
No,
he just needs a lot of things, whether it's the pram, the...
The pram is like a bassinet for non-Brits. I feel like pram isn't a word that non-Brits don't use. So it's pretty much like a big old bed that used to clip onto his stroller and doesn't anymore because he's not happy in it, but he can still fit in it to sleep.
Yeah.
And then we had his pushchair frame.
Yeah.
And then the chair.
Which
and then
takes a lot of room.
Yeah, that takes up a lot of room.
His
and then
booster seat for
the
eating.
Car seat and the booster seat and then his diaper bag and then loads and like
all sorts of
clothes
and stuff. So yeah, so he took up a lot of space, but it was very worthwhile. It was very successful. I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so proud of him.
Yeah. So hopefully you have enjoyed listening to us ramble on about our son and his camping adventure. If you're a young family considering doing it, hopefully that's given you a bit of confidence. Like I said, this was a first for us, and we think it was very successful. There are things that we probably could have done better. There are things that it could have gone way worse for us, but we're really pleased. So yeah, please do get in touch with us if you are in a similar position. We would love to hear other stories of young new parents camping, because we have a lot of, well, we're growing our experience in this as well. So please do get in touch with us. You can email us at picnicclimbers@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at picnicclimbers. We would absolutely love to hear from you. I think that's about it, isn't it, my dear?
That's all for now.
Fantastic. Bye for now.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
If you enjoyed listening along, be sure to subscribe and leave a comment on iTunes.
If you want to get in touch, follow us on Instagram at Picnic Climbers or email us at picnicclimbers@gmail.com.
Until next time, Picnic Climbers.